Today's share of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Tuf Resh Nun Aleph, and now we're starting a whole new topic, that is Netilas Halulav U Bir Chasen. So up until now, in the previous Simanim, the Shulchan Aruch focused on the actual qualifications of the Dalaminim and what each of the Dalaminim must meet, the qualifications that they must meet in order to be a kasher, one of the Dalaminim for the mitzvah. He now explains in this Siman how to perform the mitzvah. That's the Maisa Netila, and okay, that's going to be the overall thrust of the siman, how to perform the mitzvah with this kosher set of dalamina. Now, the truth is, though, this first sif in specifically is going to be dealing with an issue that is a major machlokes tanoim in the Gemara in Sukkah, daf lamed dalet amud beis, based on a Mishnah there, and it's a question of how many of the specific min of these dalaminim do you have to take for the mitzvah, meaning how many hadasim? Two hadasim, one hadas, three hadasim, one lulav, two lulavs, one arava, two aravas, one esrei, two esreigim. So the machlokes really revolves around the issue of, as we'll see, the hadasim, okay? Because when it comes to the lulav and the esrog, seemingly everyone agrees that you take one lulav and one esrog. But what about the hadasim? Now the aravos is two aravos. So we go like this. Is Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, he says that a person takes three hadasim, two aravos, one lulav and one esrog. And that should sound very familiar. And Rabbi Shmuel explains his view in the Brisa. This is explained by Rashi there. The pasuk says, pre eitz hadar, which is a tree fruit of beauty. And it said, pre eitz hadar is in singular form. So that indicates that only one esrog is required. The pasuk then describes the lulav as kapas tamarim, which are literally fronds of palm trees. And even though it's plural, the word kapas is spelled without a vav. So that's how we know it's one lulav as opposed to two lulav. And hadasim, it says, anaf eitz avos, a twig of a plaited tree. And the use of three words indicates that three hadasim are needed. And finally, the aravos are called arvei nachal, willows of the brook, which is in plural form, which basically means two aravos. So that is the opinion of Yishmael. And this, again, is explained in the Braisa, in the Gemara there, but this is Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah. They take three hadasim, two aravos, one lulav, and one esrog. Rabbi Tarfon adds that the three hadasim can be ketumim, meaning they are kosher, even if their tops are clipped off. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and maintains that one takes a single specimen, a single min, of each of the valid minim. Now, the Gemara indicates that, according to Rabbi Akiva, the single hadas that one takes cannot be katum. It must be intact. Okay? So again, we have Rabbi Shmuel, who says that a person takes three hadas and two aravos, one lulav and one esrog. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel and holds he takes one of each. And Rabbi Tarfon, who agrees that there are three hadasim, but he says even if their tops are clipped off, it's going to be kasher. Now, again, we're explaining this now according to Rov Rishonim. Okay? And now again, the Gemara indicates Rabbi Akiva, who says that you can bring one hadas, that hadas cannot be katum. Now, most Rishonim assert that since Rabbi Tarfon says that the three hadasim can have clipped tops, the implication is that he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the number of hadasim, and he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the number of specimens of each of the dalaminim, namely two aravos, one lulav, one esrog, and three hadasim. Just a question of clipped tops, okay? These Rishonim that we're spelling out right now, they continue further that the halacha is in accordance with these tanoim, namely that it's three hadasim, two aravos, one esrog, and one lulav, and the Shulchan Aruch we'll see will pask in this way. Now, the truth is that Shulchan Aruch here is only going to mention the lulav, the hadasim, and the aravos, since his focus is on the lulav bundle, which contains those three minim. In the next sif, he says that one takes the esrog, indicating, obviously, that it is a single esrog. Now, some Rishonim, however, paskin in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, who maintains that one takes a single hadas, but its top must be intact. Rama here teaches that one may rely on this view in a shas hadchak situation. And other Rishonim maintain that when Rabbi Tarfon said that the three hadasim can be clipped, he was following the lead of Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the number of hadasim needed for the mitzvah. His own view, however, is in fact Rabbi Akiva, that one takes a single hadas and a single arava. And therefore, Rabbi Tarfon is more makel than Rabbi Akiva, in that Rabbi Akiva does not accept a klip tadas, whereas Rabbi Tarfon will allow one klip tadas. Therefore, according to Rabbi Tarfon, one can take a single klip hadas. These Rishonim actually paskin in accordance with their interpretation of Rabbi Tarfon, and the Mishnah Berurah is going to mention this opinion. And the rest of the Sif deals with the halachos of binding the lulav, hadas, and arava into one single bundle. That is the issue of making an eged, binding the gimel minim, three out of the four minim. The basic idea is that it says pre-eitz hadar, kapas, tamarim, banafek, avos, arenachal, and esrog, and then a lulav and a hadas and a rava. So that we understand that the esrog is to be separate from the other three minim. And the other three minim are bound together. But there's a machlokes in the Gemara as to whether lulav tzarech eged. Everyone holds that it's a mitzvah to minimally go ahead and tie all the gimel minim together. The question is it obligatory in terms of being a cheftza shel mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzarech eged and the chachamim not. And this is all going to be brought up in this sif. And now with this, we should be able to move relatively quickly through this siman. Mitzvahs arba minim, the mitzvah of the dalet minim is sheyitol kol echad lulav echad u'shtei aravos u'shlosha hadasim. He said, this is the position of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the simple position of Rabbi Yishmael, seemingly, that one takes one lulav, two aravos, three hadasim. And again, we know that it's also one esrog from a later sif. Mr. Berurah, Siv Katan Aleph, sheyitol. B'yom tov rishon, yoyser tov leleich lemakom sheyesh bo lulav, meleleich lemakom she misfalim. Comes and he says now that on the first day of Yom Tov, it's better to go to a place where there is a lulav set, a person can be yotze, his esrog and lulav, than to go actually to a place where people are davening. He has a choice to go to a place where people are davening, or to a place where there's an esrog and lulav, assuming he doesn't have one, that's where he should go. The lulav b'yom rishon he d'araisa, because the lulav on the first day is d'araisa, and tefillah is only d'rabbanan. Afilu lulav safek b'myasik sham, lulav tefillah v'adai. And he says that even if it's a safek, whether he'll find a lulav there, and tefillah he'll definitely find any other place, still, he should go to the place that has the lulav, and hopefully he'll be able to get one. In other words, he doesn't know for sure that he's going to be able to get someone to give it to him or get one there, but he knows that it's a place where there are lulavim. He might not actually be able to get one, but even if it's a suffix, that he should go there based on suffix to hopefully get the lulav, rather than go to a shul that he knows is going to be a minion. And then he says, "V'yom tov sheni yelech l'makom shavadai misvale." However, in such a case, on Yom Tov Sheni, though, you should go to the place where there is for sure a minyan, if it's a question of the minyan versus the suffix, whether you'll get the truth is, the Kura Yaakov explains that even if it's a question of a vadai mitzvah of lulav versus a vadai place where there's a minyan to be mispalel, if it's the second day, you should go to the place that has the minyan over the mitzvah derabbanan of lulav, even if they're both vadai, both definite, that you could do either. So you go to the place where you're going to vadai be able to daven. Okay, we continue on. Sif katan beis kol echad. Every person should take a lulav. So he says v'lo she'echad yitol b'shvil kulam. He says not that one person can take for everybody. Not like one person can take it and be motzi. T'chsivu l'kachtem l'shoin rabim v'lo l'kachda l'horos she'achiv al harabim. Because it's written u l'kachtem and you shall take with the word you in plural form, and not l'kachda and you shall take with you in the singular. And this teaches that the chiv is incumbent upon everyone. And he says, "Lo ibayi b'yom tov rishon." And he says, it goes without saying that this is the halacha on the first day of Yom Tov. But even afilu b'shar yomim, b'inan l'kicha l'kol echad, you require that every individual takes his own dalid minim. And he says, "Velo kemo shetziva echad b'maisa shelo hayaves akneses ela esrog echad." This is as opposed to a certain individual who paskin in an incident where there was only one esrog in the shul, sheyikach hashliach tzibur avor kulam, shliach tzibur should take it for everybody, v'heim yishmu avracha, and they should just listen, v'yanu and answer amen. Okay, this is brought down in the Tshuvas Chasim Sefer. He says, orach chayim. We continue weiter in the Mishnah Berurah. U'shtei aravos, and you take two aravos, v'mnatal bad echad shel arava, tzarech lachzor v'litol u'levarech. He says here that if a person would be taking instead of two aravos, if he took one single arava stalk or stem, he has to take bal minim again and actually repeat the bracha. Here, the Mishnah Berurah says, this psak is taken from the Birkei Yosef, quoting the Beis David and the Knesset HaGedola. This is brought down in the Shar HaTzion. He points this out. It should be noted that the Tshuvas Yosef Oimetz, which was actually authored by the Birkei Yosef himself, issues a later psak that one does not repeat the bracha, since there are some formidable Rishonim that paskin in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, who requires only a single hadas, right? He only requires a single hadas and a single arava, and the Kaf HaChaim paskins this way as well. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah's psak here seems to actually contradict what he's going to say coming up in Sif Katan Vav, where he indicates that one can recite a bracha even on a single unclipped hadas. This too is based on these Rishonim who follow Rabbi Akiva, and it is therefore difficult to understand why the Mishnah Berurah here paskins that if one took a single arava, he must take the dalaminim again and even recite the bracha. So this is definitely something that requires greater iyun. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Let's continue on now in the Mishnah Berurah. Sif Katan Dalet u'shlosha hadasim v'afilu shloshtan ketumim sheniktamu roshan u'pachas mishlosha lo mahani afilu lo hayo ketumim. Here, the Mishnah Berurah spells out in Sif Katan Dalet that this is acceptable, three hadasim, even if the three of them are clipped, meaning that their tops are clipped off. Fewer than three hadasim, though, is unacceptable, even if they were unclipped, okay? So that's what's being said over here. So again, what is the basis for this psak here of the Mishnah Berurah? So based on our introduction, he's basically paskening as follows, that the Rambam requires three hadasim because he understands this to be Rabbi Tarfon's view, and he rules in accordance with Rabbi Tarfon. And since Rabbi Tarfon maintains that all three hadasim can be clipped, this is the accepted halacha. This is also the primary view that Shulchan Aruch cited earlier in Taf Resh Mem Vav, if you remember, Ayin Shams Taf Resh Mem Vav Sif Yud. And as we pointed out, there are other Rishonim, though, who understand that Rabbi Tarfon does not allow taking a hadas with a clip top. But as we pointed out in the introduction, we're going with Rov Rishonim, the way the majority of Rishonim understand Rabbi Tarfon, that Rabbi Tarfon is basically in agreement with, number one, Rabbi Yishmael, that you require three hadasim, and number two, that if they are clipped, all three, they will be kosher. However, the Mishnah Berurah here is excluding those that understand Rabbi Tarfon, that you could have even one clipped hadas, where Rabbi Tarfon would be going with Rabbi Akiva, that one hadas is enough, and even being more makel, that you can have an unclipped one. That, he says, that the position here, clearly of the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah saying, is that less than three hadasim won't work, even if they are not clipped. Again, when we say clipped, we mean clipped on top, the idea of niktam, ketumim. Now we continue on. The Ramah adds here, uvemakom hadchak deleka hadas kasher, sagilei bechad delo katum. He says, the Ramah now is cholek on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, in a shas hadchak situation, where there is no additional kasher hadas, you could actually use one hadas if it is unclipped. Again, this is the position, as we said, of Rabbi Akiva. Look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Vav, Sagi Lei Bechad Delo Katum. He says, Vayim B'Shar Tshuva B'Shem Tshuva Dvar Shmuel Shabasadi Tzarech Litolo Lo Racha. The Tshuva Dvar Shmuel, which is quoted in the Shari Tshuva, basically is inclined to paskin that it should be taken without reciting the bracha. However, says Achein, Prima Gadim V'Shuas Yankiv Mashma De Yuchal Levarech. However, the Prima Gadim and the Shuas Yaakov imply that one should recite and can recite the bracha. Basically, you know, it would seem that Dvar Shmuel is saying that you don't make a bracha, it makes a lot of sense, because since there's actually a machlokes amongst the Rishonim as to whether a single unclipped hadas is sufficient, the matter should be treated like a safek, and safek brachos lahak, you don't make a bracha. So what do these Achronim, the Prima Gadim, the Shuas Yaakov, what do they hold? They obviously hold that the Rishonim who accept a single unclipped hadas are so formidable that the matter halachically is no longer treated as an uncertainty in halacha, and it is considerably more likely that one can fulfill his obligation with the hadas, this one unclipped hadas, and therefore one can recite the bracha. Continues on now the Mishnah Berurah, Vinei Magen Avraham Hevi B'Shem Ramban, Daito Da'afilu B'Chad V'Katum Yotze. He says, Magen Avraham quotes the Ramban as maintaining that one can fulfill the mitzvah even with a single clipped hadas. Again, this is the opinion that we quoted before of the Ramban, who maintains that Rabbi Tarfon is really in agreement with Rabbi Akiva and not Rabbi Yishmael, and he's being more makel than Rabbi Akiva, allowing for a single hadas, but even a clipped one. And he says, V'kasav ha-Magen Avraham, v'kedayu l'smoch alav b'shas hadchak. Magen Avraham says in a shas hadchak situation, you could even rely on his opinion. And yinei b'zeh b'vadai yidlu b'lo bracha. However, here you should for sure take it without a bracha. V'bezeh gam das Yeshuas Yaakov. Since in this case, the view of the Yeshuas Yaakov as well is that one should not recite the bracha. Now, although the Prima Gadim brings down that the Magen Avraham indicates that one can recite a bracha even in this case, both the Dvar Shmuel and the Yeshuas Yaakov disagree with him So the view of Prima Gadim basically is relegated to a Das Yachid, and it is also unclear whether Prima Gadim sees any such indication in the Magen Avraham that one could recite a bracha with one clipped katum hadas. Now, it should be pointed out that since a Vov Poskim maintained that a clipped hadas is kosher on the last 6 days of Sukkos, then b'chlal, one might be able to make a bracha on a single clipped hadas on those days, and the Sharon Tzion says tzarich iyun. Now, on one hand, what's the tzarich iyun? On one hand, according to the Rov Poskim, a clipped hadas on the later days would be the same as an unclipped hadas on the first day, regarding which the Mishnah Berurah at the beginning of this Sif Katan brings a machlokes, but implied that one can say a bracha. On the other hand, there's a significant group of Poskim who are not of that majority view, as they maintain that a clipped hadas is not kasher on the later 6 days of Sukkos. So, I ain't shum, we now will move weiter. Now, we skipped the Mishnah Berurah, so let's just go back to it. Sif Katan Hey, Mishnah Berurah says, this is only the Mekayim HaTchak. L'chayra, haynu k'she'ein masig etzel acherim. This means, what does it mean that the Mekayim HaTchak, in a compelling circumstance, he can take one unclipped hadas? It means where the person cannot obtain hadasim from others. But if he can, but if he can get from others, he should take those from others for the mitzvah. The Bikurei Yaakov, says he's somewhat inclined to be makel on this matter, and he points out that the Ritva maintains that having three hadasim is merely a mitzvah min hamufchar. It's an ideal form of the mitzvah, and it's not mandatory at all. And then he says, the Mishnah Berurah though, nirali the ain lahakel b'zeh ki imvish ayamin below biyomishon. He says one should not be makel in such a situation except for on the later days, below biyomishon, and not on the first day with this opinion here of the Bikurei Yaakov. Continuing in the Shulchan Aruch, umitzvah la'agdom b'kesher gomer. Dahinu shnik sharim zeh agav zeh mishum noy. So he says the mitzvah, it is a mitzvah to go ahead and bind these three species, namely the aravos, the adasim, and the lulav, together with a full-fledged knot. Dainu shnei sharim ze al gab ze, which means two knots, one atop the other, i.e. a double knot. Mishum noi, this is all because it will enhance the beauty. It enhances their beauty. It is alacha in ze keli v'andehu. It's alacha of noi, that having a beautiful lulav set bundled together is a added desirable mitzvah, but it is not ma'akev, as you see. It's not something that will prevent you from being yotzei if you do not have it. This is the shita of lulav ein sarich eged, meaning the eged is something that should be done, but is not ma'akev. It does not prevent one from being yotzei the mitzvah if he does not have the eged, if it's not bound. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sif katan zayin u'mitzvah even though the accepted halacha is that we say lulav ain sarecheged, that one is not chayiv to bind them together, it is nevertheless desirable as a mitzvah that this be done due to the principle of ze keli the anvehu. Sif katan ches, the kesher gomor, it requires a full fledged knot, the lo ba'aniva, and not with a slip knot. The ain ze kesher haneser. Shabbos v'Yom Tov below Mikri Eved. This is because, again, this is based on the Gemara and the Sugyas in Maseches Sukkah, Ayin Shom Lamed Gimel there, and says that you can't use a slip knot, it has to be a full-fledged knot. Why? Because that is not the knot that is usher to do and make on Shabbos. Therefore, it's not considered an eged. The Ayin Chuvas Agura B'Halacha Shemitzadeh. He says, check out Chuvas Agura B'Halacha. He says, though he is inclined to paskin this Chuvas Agura Bahalacha, that the popular minhag that we have of not tying a knot, but rather creating a sort of holder from lulav leaves into which the lulav is inserted together with the hadasim and the aravos, is also considered a knot. And he says, ayin sham. And what's interesting about this is that he explains that there's no specific need for a double knot. All that is needed is for the three species to be bound together tightly. A slip knot is not acceptable only because it quickly loosens when the lulav is handled. and therefore, accordingly, the contemporary practice and minhag of using holders called kreshelach, made of lulav leaves, which does not become loose, is really the equivalent of tying the three species with a knot. Now, the truth is that we see that nowadays most people go ahead and they, besides having this kreshekle, they also tie around it to hold the kreshekle together with all the three minim. But he seems to, you know, be inclined to say that you wouldn't even need that, that that would be considered the equivalent of the eged of Zekeli the Anvehu. Okay? Now, it's interesting, when he started out the Mishnah Berurah, he said that you need to have a knot that is defined as the knot that's usher to tie on Shabbos, which makes it sound like you actually need a halachic knot. So again, that, you know, seems to be different than what he then moves on to say in the Chuhas Agura B'Halacha, who is saying it's really totally in, you know, it being something that will not quickly loosen, and the labdafka needs the knot of Shabbos for this night. And now the Shulchan Aruch continues, v'yachol la'agdam b'min acher, and a person can go ahead, and you're allowed to use some other foreign substance, namely something that is not one of the three species. You know, again, our minog, as you know, is to use one of the leaves of the lulav, but he says you do not even need to use any of the minim as the tie, as the knot. V'im nashu me ha'olin b'toch ha'aguda, the inyan shemafsik ein lachush. Then he says, if some leaves fell off of one of the species and are caught within the bundle, in a way in which they are mafsik, they separate between one species and the other, he says, ein lachush, there is no concern. Why? Because he says, the Ramah, demin demino eino chotzeitz, since a substance does not obstruct another substance of its own kind, right? The same type of min, even though it's now separated, but it's of the same substance, it's not going to go ahead and act as a mafsik between the different minim in the bundle. He says, however, continuing in the Ramah, aval shelo b'mino chotzeitz, but if it is a foreign substance, that will separate between the and create an obstruction between the different minim that you're holding together, and therefore, he says, therefore, he says, one should make sure to remove the string that is often around the hadas, so that when you have the hadas in there, that string is not going to be chotzeitz, separate between that hadas and the other minim in that you're holding, namely the hadasim with the lulav and the aravos. So let's look at the Mishnah Berurah here. Sifkatan tes, you can tie it with a different min. And he says, the less bay mishum bal tosif. There's not going to be bal tosif here. Why? The cave under ein chova la'ado, since there's no chiv of eged. We did not say that lulav tsarich eged. So therefore, conceptually, hai l'chu dekai v'hai l'chu dekai, even when you have the tie, they are all viewed as separate and distinct. You're just holding them together, but they're really three separate, they're really considered three separate holdings. And you have not added to the mitzvah if you have something else in your hand tying them together. And he says, umishum chatzitza nami leka. And he says also there's no issue of chatzitza, of some type of obstruction. Av shea kefsher mafsik ben yado la'lulav, even though the kesher makes a separation and an obstruction between his hand and the holding of the lulav, the kol lina'oso eino chotzitza. Anything that's added there to make it prettier and nicer is not something that is a halachic obstruction. Bafilu ima kesher, and this is true even if the kesher is with something that is not one of the minos, because it makes it nicer and prettier that they're tied together. And then the Ramah had added that you have to be concerned, though, that if there is a foreign substance in between this, and again, we're talking up until now about some foreign substance being used to tie the three minim together. But what if you have a foreign substance in between the three minim, the gimel minim? So he says that is problematic. And therefore you have to be careful to remove any string that might be on the hadas. Mishnah Berurah says, what's this? Perish. Sheragilan liknos bade hadas me'akum aguda aguda. He says what they used to do is they would purchase the hadas, the hadasim, by the bundle. From who? From non-Jews. And the Ramah here is saying, he's saying that you have to be careful to remove the string from the bundle. Why? Since this string is really a pure foreign substance, and it's not in any way beautifying and being a beautification of the mitzvah. And then he says, if, however, continues on, that if, however, well, im karach bade hadas belulav shari below hadichatzita. If, however, one wrapped the hadas stalks with a lulav leaf, it is then totally permitted, and it is not going to be an obstruction below hadichatzita. Zeh mikri lina'oso, because this would be considered something of beautification of the hadasim. And he says, umachzis hashekel kasav hatam lahachi shari. He says the reason it is permitted is this, that kol shoshes minim bechad kichad chashivi, that all three minim are classified as one substance. That is considered mino. And therefore, you do not have to worry about any type of obstruction between the two. Now, the big takeaway in all of this is these koshkelach that we use, the holders that we use, what's happening? The hadasim nirabos are going into like lulav leaves. So how come that's not a chatzitza between the hadasim and the rabos leaves and the lulav? So the answer is that even though there's a separation between the hadasim and the lulav and the rabos and the lulav by these lulav leaves that are made into this holder, those lulav leaves are not considered a chatzitza for one of the two reasons that we just mentioned. Again, the two reasons were that of the Levushei Srad, that since it's for beautification of the hadasim, when you have the lulav leaves there, it's okay. And or since all three minim are classified as one substance, that's therefore not going to be an obstruction, because it's an obstruction with its own substance, and it's therefore not going to be considered a chatzitza.
Shulchan Aruch continues, "V'im lo agado be'od yom, o shehuter egodo, yishal agado be'yom tov b'kesher gamor, ela ogdo be'aniva."
He says here, if one did not bind them before Yom Tov, or if the band became untied, there is no possibility of being able to bind it on Yom Tov with a full-fledged kesher. So rather, in that case, he should use a slipknot and anifa.
Rama, Haga, yesh mi shekasvo lasos hakesher b'derech acher. Shekarchen svivos shlosha minim elu, b'tochavin rosh ha-kerech toch ha-igul ha-karuch.
He says, this is based on the opinion of the Gemara, that there are those that have written that you can create the band, the ege, this way, on Yom Tov. You should coil something around these three species, and then insert the end of the coil into the loop that is wrapped around the bundle. And he says, this is the minag, right? And he says, v'chein noagin. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah here. Sif katan yud aleph, yesh mishikasu. So he says, ayoin toiv kai. He's talking here, this idea of coiling something around the three minim, the gimel minim, and then inserting the end of this coil into the loop that is wrapped around the bundle. So he says that it's talking about Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch hevi haheter shel aniva. The Shulchan Aruch is bringing the heter of using a aniva, a slipknot. And the Rama, quoting the Torah, again, this is all based on the Gemara, he cites the heter, the permissibility of going ahead and coiling something around the bundle, right? My Rabbi Shema Tur, maybe haheter did kricha. Ah, however, ma the siyem arama the chein noagin. However, the Rama's concluding words that this is the minag perish hamagen Avram af bechol, and in the magen Avram there says that this means even on a weekday. That's tzarech iyun. That really needs and requires further iyun, further study. The after b'Mordechai niskar haheter the kricha af bechol, aval lo be'ofen zeh. Because even though the Mordechai does mention the permissibility of a coiling it around on a weekday, it is not, the Mordechai is not talking about it in the way that the Rama is talking. Ella shemitchila kosher pamachas yachakach kocher. Rather, he's talking about when the person first makes one knot and then coils it around the bundle and inserts that end into the loop. In such a situation, if you do it that way, who ki'ilu kosher shnei ksharim zeh al gav zeh? That is the equivalent of making two knots, one atop the other. However, aval below kshira lo adif mi'aniva. However, with no knot at all, this is no better than a slip knot, and therefore it should not. Doesn't make sense, he says, to him. He doesn't really understand the Magen Avram, because why would it be okay during the week? Because it would be the equivalent of a slipknot, of an aniva, that it's only on Yom Tov you do, and you use an aniva, in this case, also this kricha, this coiling around maneuver. He then, achakach matzasi, shegam agra mitame alzeh. He says, I later found that the Gra also expressed big wonderment over this issue, found in the Magen Avram, that you could go ahead and chein noagin, the minag is to wrap it around and tuck it in,
that's even on chol, and therefore he says al kein nira. Therefore, it seems to him to be correct. Like it says coming up, therefore, it seems correct to go ahead and do what? Based on, again, in light of what we just said, that the minhag is to make three bonds, three ksharim. That the bottom kesher, the bottom bond, bottom kesher, kesher atachtom, bottom kesher, the bottom bond, which is what bonds the three minim together, should first be fastened with a knot and then coiled around the bundle. The Aruch HaShulchan actually is cholik on the Mishnah Brura and accepts the simple reading of the Ramah that one can simply go ahead and coil something around the three minim. And he explained that this, in fact, is more beautiful than a double knot. And adds that according to what we just said, that the contemporary koishkol, which typically consists of three compartments, is a particularly nice way to bind the minim together. And the Kovetz Halacha states that it is common minog to use rings with no knots at all, and actually paskins that there is no need to be machmir. Some contemporary poskim, however, paskin that the dalet minim must be tightly bound together. This is the approach of the Bekir Yaakov, which is not accomplished with a koishkol alone, and that one should therefore tie a ring with a double knot, okay, or a single knot and a coiling around the koishkol, and that's what many people on minug have a minug to go ahead and have a ring with a double knot, or as we just said, a single knot and a coiling around the koishkol. Ayin shom. Then he continues on the Ramah. Ramah continues, the Yesh Lekshor Hadas Gavoha Yoser Min Arava, the Hadas should be tied higher than the Arava. Look at the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan Yud Beis, Gavoha Yoser, Vatam Al Ki Kabbalah. The reason is based on Kabbalah. He says, Ayin also the Levush. Hadas tzarich l'kashro b'yamin alulav via arava mi smola. The hadas should be tied to the right of the lulav and the arava to the left of the lulav. This is, he says, the matem Moshe, the chain noagen, and this is the minug. And he says, the iter yad, a left-handed person, the yamin b'day who smol the alma, where his right hand, okay, is actually the left, right? Because it's the more dexterous hand is really the equivalent of the left hand of the general populace. So there, Mitzadei Pi Maganim, the lowest leading basad yidei, ki imbasad the alma. He says a person, he paskins that such a lefty does not go and follow himself, but rather the general populace. And that is, he too, a lefty also, should have the adasim on the right of the lulav and the aravos on the left. He says, see the Bikurei Yaakov, who questions this. And back in the Ramah, he says, v'yashmil adas v'arava toch one should lower the hadas and the arava into the lulav bundle so that one takes all of the three minim in his hand at the time of the bracha. Look at the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan Yimel, Kol Shlosha Minim Biyado, Yafa Gadlu Kicha Al Yedei Davar Acher Shmeila Kicha, because even though taking the dal minim by means of another object is considered taking, as we will see in Sif Zayin, however, nevertheless, when it's possible to avoid it, we did not do so. Now, the implied question of the Mishnah Brura here is as follows. In Sif Zayin, we're going to learn that if one grasps something that is holding the valid meaning, such that the meaning themselves are not in his hand, he nevertheless is Yotze. So he says, in our case then, where all valid meaning are bound together and one is holding at least one of them, why is it necessary to lower the hadasim and the aravos so that one is actually grasping in his hand all three of them? So he says, lechatchila, when it's possible to grasp all three of them, that you should do that, even though we see that you are yotze if you are holding it by grasping something that is holding the dalamina. Finally, the Ramah says, yesh shekasu lasos palulav shlosha ksharim v'chein noagim, says there are those who have written that one should make three ksharim, three bands on the lulav, and that is the common practice, shlosha ksharim, keneged shlosha avos. These three ksharim that are on the lulav are corresponding to the three avos. And he says, we are ksharim shel mata. He says, it would seem that the lower ksharim, the lower bonds, i.e. the ainu mashakosha kol shlosha minim biyachad mishum noi, the ones that are binding all of the three minim together for the sake of noi, hu nechshav le'echad. That is considered one of these single ksharim, one of these single bonds. Ve'yaseh l'mala ok shnayim im ef shalo, and he should make another two bonds higher up if he can do so. He then says, Eliyarabah mashma, Eliyarabah, it implies, Shlosha ksharim belulav atzmo levada kesh aravi yishoged ha shlosha minim yachad. He implies that there should be three ksharim on the lulav itself, aside from the fourth eged, which bundles the three minim together. Imlo neged ele eged achas, however, if only one kesher is made kasher, it is kasher. That is, you still fulfill the desirable practice of eged with the other two species. Okay, and he says kasu achron tzarch lasos b'inyan sheyuchal lechazbeis hetev bechazbeis hetev ba'alin alkein tzarch lios tefach l'mala pasuach below mikushar. He says the achronim write that one must make these ties in a way that leaves him able to rustle the leaves well. Therefore, there has to be one handbreadth, tefach, at the top of the lulav that is left open and unbound, so that he'll be able to do a shake your lulav.